May the Spirit of God be with us all as we worship this morning and warm our hearts. I know that our physical bodies are wishing for air condition, but may our hearts be warmed as we worship together, and may He receive all the honor and the glory this morning. I don't want to keep you long. I do want to begin by issuing a special weather statement. There's fierce storms brewing. There's a darkness coming. Take emergency precautions and procedures. Jesus is a lighthouse. I'm not qualified to give a special weather statement in the way that you first thought. But you know, Jesus is a lighthouse. And there are storms coming. There's a darkness that is coming. There's storms that are happening now in society, in the world around us. But Jesus is the lighthouse. The title of the message is this morning, The Christian, a Lighthouse for the World. And we usually think of a lighthouse being Jesus. But I want to think about it. I want to make it personal to each one of you this morning that you can be a lighthouse for Jesus. I was assigned a message entitled The Christian in Election Year at another congregation, and I also was asked to preach a morning message as well. And this is a message that I prepared for the morning, and Lord willing, I do plan to preach on the Christian in Election Year at another time here. First of all, I want to begin with noticing some parallels between a lighthouse and life. A lighthouse is a shore-based structure. It needs to be. A lighthouse cannot be out on the water 15 miles from land. It needs to be shore-based. It is anchored on a rock. And I'm not going to make all these parallels. I want you to make them in your own mind. And number two, it assists sailors with navigation. The classic form is a tall tower with a lamp assembly at the very top. Again, make the comparison in your own minds to the Christian, to you and your life. They are known by their markings. By day, they can be distinguished by the swirling, spiring stripes or bars. And each lighthouse is a little bit different, and sailors learn to recognize that. It's something that sticks out. It is high. It is distinguishable. By night, they can be identified by their flashing sequences, and the sailors, seagoers know by the sequence of the lights which lighthouse they are looking at. Even if the storm is heavy, and the waves are high, and the night is dark. Number four, the lamp creates a focused beam of light which is rotated across the water in a unique pattern. Sometimes this light serves as a navigational marker. It also warns of hazards, or it may point the way to a harbor mouth. This is what a lighthouse does. It can be a beacon of hope or a warning of peril, suggesting dangerous shores or offshore shoals. The light has to be maintained continuously for the safety of the ships. It has to be maintained continuously. And the last, lighthouses are steadily growing obsolete. Because of the modern age that we're living in, radar and all the electronics that GPS, all those things are rendering lighthouses obsolete. There's many in operation yet, but I think you know the parallel with what I'm saying. Where is the Christian church? Where's the light? Where are Christians? Is the light shining? What is the light, or who is the light? Christ is a light. John 1:4-9, in him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, meaning John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Number one, Christ is the light. Number two, you and I are the light. Christians, Matthew 5, 14 to 16, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Now the word bushel there signifies a measure containing about a pint less than a peck. Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works. Now, how do we let the light shine? Well, let's look, go back to this bushel basket thing. I think we don't understand the significance of the candle in the house, and I believe I mentioned this before. But take your mind back to a time without electric lights, and about 9 or 9:30 in the evening in a house without electric, you have a candle that is shining. You might have several candles. Why would someone, it would be a mean trick to just put a basket on top of the candle that's giving light for people that are reading their Bible, people that are playing a game, people that are whatever they're doing, washing dishes. Why would anyone do that? It's a senseless thing. How do we let our light shine? Let's take away the bushel basket. There's another way to look at this, and this is not original with me, but I came across this thought. A bushel basket is an instrument of work. It's used in the everyday lives of farmers, merchants, and families in biblical times. We tend to hide our light under our work. Sometimes our work can get in the way. We need to get our work out of the way so that our light can shine. We kind of hide that in our lives. We say, well, we're busy with life, and that we justify ourselves. But yet, let's not let our busyness take away our light. How do we let it shine? We need to stay away from darkness. I'll turn to two passages here. You can turn with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 19. This is Jesus talking to Nicodemus. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Jesus referring to himself, I believe. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, for they are wrought in God. There's many thoughts could be brought out here, but I trust the scripture can speak for itself. We know what it's like, those of us who have named the name of Christ. As Brother Joe mentioned, we know what it's like to live in the darkness. And praise the Lord, we know what it's like to live in the light. But there's a constant struggle. There's a constant battle going on between this world, between the forces of light and the forces of darkness. It's intense. And we generalize it sometimes. It's a big battle, but we need to personalize it and realize that it's happening here. A great spiritual battle. You know, if our deeds are evil, we love the darkness. But if our hearts are cleansed by the blood of Jesus, we love the light. There's no need for darkness. We hate the darkness. We stay far away from the darkness. There's a line that is drawn, and we clearly know which side we're on. Romans 13, one more scripture passage. Romans 13. This brings out the point I was just talking about, but let's see what the scripture says. Romans 13, 11 to 14. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So what is your lighthouse doing this morning? What kind of sequence is your light? Is it a consistent sequence that is shining forth from my life? Is it distinguishing marks, the swirls, the patterns? Do they need to be freshened up? Or does the lighthouse look gray just like everything around it? Remember, there is a battle. Where are we? Where am I in this battle? How to be a light is where we want to look at next. How to be a light. There's 2 points here. A Christian is a light by default. This is not the quote. This is based on a quote, but this is a thought. The increasing darkness makes the true lights more noticeable. A Christian is a light by default. And what I'm saying is, just because you're a Christian, because you're separate from the world, makes you shine. It's because Christ is in us. Christ is in you. We are all meant to be lights to others, but it is not our light. It is Christ that really shines out. And this is the quote, the darker the night, the more the true light shines. And I tried to pin down where that came from. I don't know who first said that. The darker the night, the more the true light shines. So it's kind of by default this morning. But number two, it is by choice. A former U.S. Vice President, Adlai Stevenson, said it's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. And we could clean that up a little bit by saying, instead of complaining about the darkness, glory in the light. You know, the Christians, we have a choice this morning. How we're going to respond to the world. How we're going to respond to the darkness. You know, we can turn our lights down. I believe we can. When we turn our lights down, the light of the gospel is not flowing through us. Our lighthouse has become dim. A Christian is a light by choice. The light of Jesus, as it shines in the life of the Christian, illuminates the brilliant colors of the gospel. And I had to think of this. We spent the last several days in West Virginia, and I don't know what the sunsets were like here, but the clouds and the sun and the sunshine on the clouds made for some tremendous pictures. We were snapping away as a family, and at one point you could see 4 layers of clouds, and you could judge a layer how high a cloud was by how much sunshine it was getting, and how much sunshine was getting, you could tell by the brightness of the clouds. Some were white, some were yellow, reflecting the setting sun. Others were dark, they had no sunlight at all. But the color, good light brings out color. And it was in a Sunday school lesson with the rainbow or the halo. I appreciated that thought. Good light brings out color. The light of Jesus in the life of the Christian illuminates the brilliant colors of the gospel. Praise the Lord for that. The light of Jesus makes fruit grow. I think you can draw the parallel there. The light, the sunshine, makes fruit grow. It happens in our lives as we get ourselves out of the way. The light of Jesus can make fruit grow in our lives. The true light of Jesus taps into an inexhaustible source. This lamp is exhaustible. What I'm seeing this morning is exhaustible. It wears out. It gets tired. I want to encourage you this morning to beef up your lighthouse. But we are exhaustible. But we are not exhaustible as long as we're tapped into an inexhaustible source. We're not this morning like a phosphorescent substance. You know what phosphorus, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. Phosphorescence, I believe, is what it's called. Phosphorescence. It's an element that if you hold it up against the light and then turn the light out, it'll glow because the light, it absorbs the light. In a sense, we are like that as Christians, but in a sense not, because we don't want to fade. As long as we're tapped into that source, we will not fade. The last point, what is the darkness? I won't spend a lot of time here. I've 4 points. What is the darkness? Simply put, the darkness is distance from the light. Absence of spiritual life. And that should fill our hearts with sadness as we think about the fact that there's darkness. The light of Jesus is not shining into men's hearts. There's a lot of corners and hidden areas in our hearts. It should not be in our hearts, but in the hearts of man. And this thought, multiply it times millions of people, and you have the darkness. It's an absence of spiritual life. It's a result of apostasy. And there's been periods of dark ages through history, from the time of Malachi to Christ, to sometimes called the 400 silent years. And this is what Matthew 4:16 refers to. The people which sat in darkness, the 400 silent years, saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. That was Jesus. Jesus is the light. We already talked about that. That's one era, the dark ages. Whereas another period of darkness in history, the fall of the Roman Empire from 500 BC to roughly 1500 AD. And this was because of the abuse of power by the apostate Roman Catholic Church. Yet a church system, a strong church system that was in place, but it was apostate. It had fallen. But it was such a grip on the world, the then known world, that it brought about a dark ages. And it was only the light of the Renaissance and the light of the Reformation that the light was able to come forth again. Don't misunderstand me. There was light throughout the dark ages as well, but it was restrained. The Iron Curtain in the 20th century, we had the abuse of power by communistic anti-freedom governments that gave somewhat of a darkness in parts of the world. Today, I put today and then question mark. We don't know what's happening in this world exactly. If you follow the news, if you follow what's going on, it looks like maybe there's a period of darkness coming again. Darkness socially. Darkness politically. There's an abuse of power because the free nations of the world are becoming a nanny state. There's people in this world that don't want freedom. They would want to sacrifice freedom for the control of a government that just simply tells them what to do and gives them what they need. And that will bring in a darkness. And it will affect the church. What we see today in the cultural, political world, the real problem is not abortion, the liberal media, or lack of bipartisanship. The real problem is not the political system. The real problem is not the borders. The real problem is darkness, a rot at the core of Western culture. Churches and cultures and societies need Jesus, not political reform. And this is the bridge now to the second installment of the message. I simply want to close with a few thoughts. What are we doing? What is the condition of your lighthouse? Are you shining a light for Jesus? You know, the churches are closing. I mentioned at the beginning how lighthouses are becoming obsolete. The churches are closing. Nominal Christianity faces the same issues that urban society does. I believe this morning that the lighthouse has left the rock and it has become one with the stormy seas. The light's gone out. A curtain of darkness is falling. And the question we want to look at in the next message is, what is a Christian's place in relating to this cultural darkness? But what I want to leave you with this morning is, may you be faithful through the coming week in being a lighthouse. And I don't know how, if you're serious about that, God is going to lay opportunities at your feet to be a lighthouse. May you be faithful. May I be faithful in taking them up and being identified and being one with the true light. Let's kneel for prayer.